passage of scripture that I'd like to share with you this morning. There'll be some others, but this is an important one for us as we begin our time together this morning. Paul writes to us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and he says, "Being confident of this, that he, that Jesus, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, you know, one of the things when you're in seminary, you have to do an awful lot of reading. And some of the reading, I have to, you know, admit, was pretty torturous. It was some hard stuff to get through. And John, I'm sure you can, you know, empathize with that. However, there are some theological works that are far easier to get through than others. And I brought one of the theological books that I think is one of the more easier to get through. I bet you didn't know How the Grinch Stole Christmas was a theological tome, right? This is an important book in theological circles. Now, before I begin, right? So we all know, we've all heard of the Grinch, right? Does anybody know what the a definition of a Grinch? What is the definition of a Grinch? What is it, Xavier?
He hates Christmas and he doesn't care about anything.
He hates Christmas and he doesn't care about anything. That is really close. That's a good one. I mean, anybody want to try to top that? What is what? That one's a little further away from the truth. I had looked this up, and I left most of my notes at home, so I had to look it up on my phone here this morning. So this is what the dictionary, this is the dictionary definition of what a Grinch is. A Grinch is a person who is mean-spirited and unfriendly. And that when you call somebody, which is definitely not Bob McGill, right? I mean, we can all agree about that. But then it says, what does it mean to call someone a Grinch? And a Grinch is one who spoils the pleasure of others. A killjoy, a spoil sport, right? Now, so on the surface, right, there would be nobody here who would say, like, yes, I want to be a Grinch, right? Is there anybody here who wants to be a Grinch? You want to be a Grinch? Do you know where the story's going?
On Mount Crumpet, you live there.
On Mount Crumpet? Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's an important that we all become Grinches, right? And so hopefully by the end of our time together today that we will be able to say in one accord, yes, I want to be a Grinch this Christmas day. So if you track what happens in How the Grinch Stole Christmas, right? Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot. But the Grinch, who lived just north of Whoville, did not. The Grinch hated Christmas, the whole Christmas season. Now, don't ask why, because no one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be, perhaps, that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. So the Grinch did not like what was happening in the world, right? He was dispossessed of all of this Christmas season. You know, it's all these people who are celebrating it. He didn't understand it, right? He was an enemy of Christmas. Would you agree with that? He was an enemy of Christmas, Xavier? Absolutely, right? Because it goes on, you know, he's like, he stood there on Christmas Eve hearing the Who's, staring down from his cave, a grinchy frown at the warm lighted windows below in their town, for he knew every Who down in Whoville beneath was busy now hanging their mistletoe wreath. And they're hanging their stockings, he snarled with a sneer. Tomorrow is Christmas, it's practically here. And then he growled with his Grinch fingers nervously drumming, I must find a way to stop Christmas from coming. So the the Grinch originally was very anti-Christmas. And so, you know, Dr. Seuss may not have been approaching this from a theological way, but I would say, you know, every one of us, when we were born with a sin nature. You know, theologically, it's called original sin. That each one of us, when we're born, are born with sin. And even if that was not true, it becomes true. Because what Scripture tells us, right, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right, we've all been that Grinch. We've all been that person that has sinned. And you may say, well, I'm not that bad. Well, you don't have to be that bad. Right? We're not talking about axe murderers or Hitler. Like, we love to point out those types of people, right? I am not like Hitler. Well, thank goodness for that, right? There was only one. But Scripture does say we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The whole idea behind what the very definition of a sin is missing the mark. It was an archery term, right? And so you've got the target there, and you pull back your bow and you shoot. And if you don't hit the perfect center, it's called a sin. And there have been plenty of times I know in my life I have sinned. I haven't met the mark of what God has called me to do. And it could have just been, you know, that that little white lie that we like to say doesn't really hurt. Or it could have been that hate and anger that I've held on to for way too long. You know, those types of things, they do something within us, and it separates us from God. You know, much like the Grinch was separated from the love of Christmas because of his hate that was in his heart, I was separated from God. And it wasn't that I hated God, I just didn't understand that there was something in me that I had to confess, I had to let go of, I had to hopefully become different. You know, the story goes on, and so the Grinch, you know, comes up with this crazy plan, right? And he straps, you know, this is what he says. I know just what to do. The Grinch laughed in his throat, and he made a quick Santa Claus hat and a coat. He chuckled and clucked. What a great Grinchy trick. With this coat and this hat, I look just like Saint Nick. All I need is a reindeer. And the Grinch looked around, but the reindeer were scarce. There were none to be found. But did that stop the old Grinch? No, the Grinch simply said, if I can't find a reindeer, I'll make one instead. And so he called his dog Max, I hate this part of the story because I love my dog, but so he called his dog Max, and he took some red thread, and he tied a big horn on the top of his head. Then he loaded up some bags and some old empty sacks on a ramshackle sleigh and hitched up old Max. Then the Grinch said, giddy up, and the sleigh started down towards the homes where the Whos lay a snooze in their town. Because we're all asleep, in a sense, to the gravity of our separateness from God, right? We don't realize that because we have sinned, and we have all sinned, there is this divide between us and God. Further on in the book of Romans, Paul says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And if we couple that with Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and if we've all sinned, and the wages of sin is death, or what we earn because we sin is death, that puts us in a very precarious situation. And places us in a situation where we are in direct opposition with God. And Paul says in the first chapter of Ephesians, we were by nature objects of wrath. Right? Because our very nature was anti-God. We didn't appreciate what God has done for us. And it's not that we are shaking our fist at seven and saying, I don't believe in you. It could just be we just live with a casual indifference. We don't have to be like the Grinch plotting to steal Christmas joy. We could simply just go along our lives and not even acknowledging that we were created in the image of God, that we are created to worship God and to point others to God. And so, you know, Brett wanted me to read the whole book this morning, and I said, Brett, I can't read the whole book this morning, as fun as it would be. But we know the story. How about this? Then he did the same thing to all the other whose houses, leaving crumbs much too small for the other whose mouses. And it was a quarter past dawn, all the whose still abed, all the whose still a snooze when he packed up his sled, packed it up with their presents, the ribbons, the wrappings, the tags, the tinsels, the trimmings, the trappings. 3,000 feet up on the side of Mount Crumpets, he rode with his load to the tip-top to dump it. Poo-poo to the who's, he was grinchily humming. They're finding out now that no Christmas is coming. They're just waking up. I just know what they'll do. Their mouths will hang open a minute or two. And then all the who's down in Whoville will cry boo-hoo. That's a noise, grinned the Grinch, that I simply must hear. So he paused, and the Grinch put his hand to his ear, and he did hear a sound rising over the snow. It started in low, and then it started to grow. But the sound wasn't sad. Why, this sound sounded merry. It couldn't be so, but it was merry, very. He stared down at Whoville. The Grinch popped his eyes. Then he shook that what he saw was a shocking surprise. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came somehow or another. It came just the same. And then the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages or boxes or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. And then the Grinch thought of something that he hadn't thought of before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though a good man might somehow possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That truth, the truth that while we're still stealing Christmas, while we're still indifferent about God, Christ died for us. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, not right when we somehow realized that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the way, but when we were still like, about God. God sends his Son for us to set us free. It's the beauty of what Christmas is all about, that God enters this world, God shows us the way, the truth, and the life, lives our lives, dies a death that we have earned and that we deserve so that we could be set free, so that we can gather and worship, so that we can tell others. And so this is what happens to the Grinch when he realizes this truth. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they did say that the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite right, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light. He brought back the toys and the food for the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast. You know, I accepted Jesus when I was 13 years old. You know, that's when I became a Grinch. That's when I realized that my old life was no longer the life that God wanted me to live. I remember, I couldn't tell you the year, but I remember when my dad became a Grinch. When he walked down the aisle up at Trinity United Methodist Church and knelt at the altar and gave his life to Jesus. My dad's a Grinch. I'm a Grinch. And I hope and I pray that you understand that your life after Jesus is different. That you are not judged by the beginning of your story. You are not judged by the fact that you were born in sin. You're not judged by your bad choices. The ending of your story, right? What you do with Jesus is what matters. And so we get to come to church. We get to be a people that recognize that, you know what? I have a past. I've sinned. I continue to sin. I want to do better. I pray that I'm going to do better. But I recognize that my story became incredibly different the moment that I gave my heart to Jesus. Because my old story is now my old story. Because on that day, right, you know, my heart grew 3 sizes. Jesus entered my life. And he who began a good work in me will carry it out into completion into the day of Jesus Christ. And that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, he promises to do the exact same thing. That you will not be judged by your old life. You will not be judged by previous mistakes. You will be viewed as a son or a daughter of God because of who lives within you. This is Christmas. This is the Christmas gift. Thanks be to God for that truth. So I'm going to ask you again. Who here wants to be a Grinch this Christmas? Right? A couple more. Hopefully all of you, right? Yeah. All right. Let's pray together. Lord God, we are grateful for your incredible love for us. That you don't judge us by the beginning of our stories. You don't judge us by the mistakes we've made. You simply ask the question, what did you do with my son? And then Jesus, what your word says to us, that, and we're told this in 1 John 5, that he who has the son has the life. He who does not have the son does not have the life. I have written this that you may know that you have eternal life. And so Jesus, as a Grinch, I recognize that your son died for me, and I gratefully receive his life. I pray for my family here. I pray, Lord, that they too would recognize that Jesus died for them, that they would receive Jesus' gift. They would know the Son and would have eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming into this world for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, our God is in the business of changing people. You know, we've all heard of Doubting Thomas, you know, been slapped with one of the most unfortunate nicknames in history, right? Thomas, history says, went on to preach the gospel in the country of India and eventually was martyred for his faith. You know, Doubting Thomas gave his life for the gospel. The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, started his life as someone who persecuted Christians. Paul gave his life for Christ. Chris Kendall, born in 1972, Don and Sandy Kendall, not a bad person, but had sin, gave his life to Christ, and became different. Each and every one of us can be on that same lineage, whether we slap ourselves with those unfortunate nicknames like Doubting so-and-so. But God can take your story and change it. God can take your story and not judge you on the beginning of the story, but at the end. What did you do with Jesus? Because that makes all the difference. Thank you, Jesus, for making a difference in our lives. A difference, Lord, we could spend the rest of our lives singing about, praising, and telling others. And Lord, we pray we're able to do just that. It's in your name, O Savior, we pray. Amen.